Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. It's all right here for you with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Remember to visit us online, too, at besteveryou.com. And now here's your host, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino.
All right, everyone. Happy Tuesday. We have a wonderful guest with us today, all the way from beautiful, sunny California. Is it sunny there today, though, Deborah?
Hello. Well, it is today. I'm good. It is today. A couple days ago, we had some pretty good rain.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was still raining out there. We've got, we're here in Maine, we have beautiful sunny weather. It's like so deceiving, though. You step outside and it's like 3 degrees. It's like not even fair. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. It's like luring. And then you step outside and you're like, oh, I need a coat on, a parka. All right. Yeah, parka. Yeah, no, I'm not kidding.
Believe it or not, I've been wearing a parka.
It's been
in the 40s. That sounds cold to a lot of people on the East Coast, but.
Yeah.
It's
well, that's my 70 degree weather too. Like if it dips below 70 degrees, because I've lived in California, I'm in a parka, one of those big puffy. Funniest thing. People look at you like, what's wrong? All right. You just still need an introduction, even though we could talk about the weather all day. This is Deborah Oakland, everyone. She's the founder of Living in Courage. You can follow her website at livingincourageonline.com. And Deborah comes to us via Deb Scott. Deb Scott is one of my good buddies, best pals in the world, co-host, and she's the founder of the Motivation Marathon, where Deborah was one of the 45 featured speakers and experts on that Motivation Marathon, which we held the second one January 14th through the 22nd. And you can visit more about the Motivation Marathon and listen to Deborah Oakland there as well on motivationmarathon.com. And we're going to spend the next hour or so talking about leaving our fear behind and living in courage. And I'm so excited for you to be with us because, you know, you've just got this topic mastered and your website shows it and you show it once we start talking here. People will know exactly why they've joined us today. Over a six-year period of time, you lost several people close to you. And where most people would give up, you decided to invite courage into your world and encourage others as well and to share your joy instead of your sorrow. And I'm wondering if you could talk about why you decided to do that, whereas most people might, you know, cry and be sad for themselves and totally give up.
Well, I decided to make courage my constant traveling partner and to let the fear go because there's always fear around our lives. You know, what are you going to do with the fear? And you can turn that into many different things, and courage is one of the main examples that I like to follow. Mm-hmm. And as I say in my definition of courage, as I was thinking about this huge subject, It's just one of the most powerful activities that we can use in our lives. And as you say, courage is the will to act upon the strength and power in the heart, because I feel like the heart is the key to everything. And it's living a courageous life takes place in your life when you allow the true essence of who you are to rise up and shine for the world to see, because we're here to shine. And if we're not shining, we're not expanding, we're not growing. And to do that fearless of opinion is not the easiest thing to do. Mm-hmm. But if we can take other people's opinions out of it and be fearless in our own courageousness, then we're true to ourselves. And then we have this powerful resolve that is unshakable. And then we can carry on in the face of any challenge. Mm-hmm. And that way we're standing in the power of purpose. Like the pure point of courage comes across for us, and it's available to all of us that want to use it in our lives. I mean, it's a choice. When these things happen to you, you have to make a decision. What am I going to do? Am I going to fall apart? How long am I going to grieve? How much am I going to grieve? What am I really grieving about? Is it about the person who's gone? Is it about me? Is it about so many different facets of it? It's just like a diamond facet. There's so many different things that you have to deal with.
Yeah. Can we pretend for a second that you and I are in a tennis match? Okay.
Yes.
You're on one side of the court and I'm on the other, and we're going to bat Vera around for a minute. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Can we start back at let's not even say death for a little bit. Let's just go everyday life and bat Vera around for a minute. Things that we can be afraid of. I'll take a turn. You'll take a turn. I'll take a turn. You'll take a turn. I'm afraid of my teenage son getting in the car. Can you tell me something now that you're like that we shouldn't be afraid of, but we might be, just so people can kind of understand what we mean by fear?
Let's see.
And you don't have to be afraid of it yourself, but just an example. Like some people are afraid to go to the grocery store. Some people are afraid to go
bully.
Go for it. Yeah, go
How about
ahead.
A bully?
Yep. Okay. Well, I'm afraid of, or somebody might be afraid of, not visiting home often enough to see their parents.
Yes. Not connecting with loved ones.
Yeah.
When you know that you miss them.
Yeah.
And
okay.
You need to make that contact.
Yeah. What about something? So bat one back at me now. One,
self-imposed limitation.
Ooh, there's a good one. Getting old.
Oh, yes. Hell yes. Who likes that?
That ball just went whizzing by me.
getting sick, getting an illness.
Yeah, exactly. Losing money.
Yes. Another big fear would be being opulent, living in wealth.
Somebody in the chat room just went aging. Oh yeah. How about
everybody
this one?
Can relate to that.
Yeah, I think everybody gets that one. How about fear of success?
Exactly. Exactly. Opulence. I mean,
yep, exactly.
Wealth. What are
opulence.
All the building blocks, the stepping stones to that, to feeling limited? And what happens if you get all of that? What are all the fears that go around that? Are people going to think less of you? Are they going to think that you think you're better than them? I mean, there's so many different things that go along with wealth.
All right. So let's do a few more. Let's maybe bat five more around in our tennis match here. How about fear of failure?
Fear of failure.
Fear of success, fear of failure. Any other one?
I
got any in the chat room? You guys have any idea?
Fear of,
what, are you,
fear of
what are you afraid
injury.
Of?
Injury.
Fear of injury. Ooh,
fear
there's
injury.
A good one. Fear of injury.
Mm-hmm.
Fear of injury. Okay. Anything else? Any other great things people fear?
Fear of losing, like getting Alzheimer's or something. Where you
fear of a fear of like losing all your memories and things.
Your mental capacity. Yes, that would be huge.
Okay. How about another fear like getting on an airplane? Like fear of things, like fear of heights, fear of airplanes,
fear of heights.
Ladders.
Fear of heights,
like
ladders, roofs, edges of cliffs, yes.
Okay.
Anything like that.
Okay.
Fear of animals, like a
fear of,
like
yeah, anything. So,
in Africa stomping you or eating you.
My point of this is anything
fear
that
of being
you
misunderstood.
Are, yep.
Bellamy just said, yes.
Yeah,
one.
Exactly. Fear of anything. Fear of anything that you fear. Fear of ghosts. Fear of, you know, whatever it is that you fear.
And it all takes courage.
Yeah, it all takes courage. So fear, to overcome fear, you need what? Are you there?
That's a big one. But courage.
Courage. Okay.
Courage.
So how did you find courage, and how do you find courage? Where does courage come from? I think that's probably in order for people to get over their fears, they need to know where to go find courage.
Well,
where
I find
that?
I would think that the best place that you can find courage is inside of yourself. That strength that is inside of you, deep in the core of who you are, and it's in there. You need to connect with it. And sometimes it takes something like loss or an injury or cancer or, any of those things that we fear to bring our courage out and for us to be able to connect with it. Otherwise, if everything's just going on perfectly and there are no challenges in your life, there's nothing to learn. There's no way to grow.
Right.
And courage is a big activity that we can connect with within ourselves to help us grow exponentially.
So how?
And
okay,
I can talk about a little bit about my life and how this
all
came about.
I would love to. Yeah, that's where we're kind of headed next, because it sounds like over a 6-year period of time, you lost your son.
Yes.
And an unborn baby girl in the 8th month of pregnancy. I've had something very similar like that happen to me as well, in a late stage pregnancy with a girl.
Mm.
2 brothers to AIDS, and then your father on top of it. My father's quite ill right now as well. In fact, we were just talking about an hour ago, and I was crying on the phone with my dad. He's like, "I miss you," but he's been so terribly ill since it's been going on and off since 2004. But you've experienced all these things. Yeah, I know you do. Yeah, and you've had
other challenges in your life as well. That
major. Yeah, major challenges. But we share. I think all of us listening share something, and that's the courage. And I would just love for you to tell us about your life, and we'll just listen for a while.
Okay, I would like to say that my mother is also listening on this call, and she's probably the most courageous person I know.
Oh.
Yes.
Hi, Mom.
And she's BJ Welsh, Beverly Welsh. That's my mom.
I love that.
And she's been through so much. And she also lost her husband a few years ago. He had cancer, and his face was completely eaten away. And, I mean, there's just been a lot of loss in our family and our life. But we're also very strong. And I've never really talked about the day that my son, Wade, passed. I've never really discussed that with anyone in great
detail.
I would, because I think there's a solution there. It's what happened that made me have the courage to get through this, and it's how it was pre-paved. It was in retrospect, it was a beautiful thing. so I'll tell you here what happened. My brother Tim, he passed in 1992. My brother Ted was in 1994. They had complications from AIDS, and that was earlier on, right before the cocktails came out.
Right.
And then I lost Cody and I lost our daughter that was going to be born right before delivery in 1993. And then on January 21st, 1995, my son, he was in a car accident in Canada.
Mm.
And then my father was after that.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a very arduous time in our lives, because we were the caretakers also with my brothers and my father.
Yeah,
and that's not easy to go through. So what happened with my son was he passed in January. Earlier in the year before, in 1994, in the fall, he came out to visit us with his girlfriend from Canada. He wanted us to meet her, and they came and stayed with us for almost a couple of weeks, like 10 days to 2 weeks, in Laguna Beach, and it was fabulous. We just had the most amazing time. And before he left, he said to me, he says, "Mom, I want to meet in Colorado at Grandma's." He goes, "I'm not bringing my girlfriend. I'm not going to mention her name here. She's married now. It's wonderful." He said, I want to meet you. I want you and Cody to come out and meet at Grandma's, and I want to, you know, have the family there. And I want to come out for, you know, like 7 days and stay there in Colorado Springs." So I said, "Well, that's very odd." It was right before Christmas, and he said, "Let's all spend Christmas there." It's not like him at all. I mean, I can't even tell you how not like him that was. So I agreed, and we all met out in Canada, Colorado, at my mother's. And we had just an amazing time. Wade and I sat for those 7 days, and this is, I'm not exaggerating, we talked for those 7 days. He asked me everything he ever wanted to ask me, why I left his dad, you know, what our life like was like in Canada. I mean, he asked me every conceivable question that he could ask about spirituality. What happens when you die? What do you think about God? And, you know, what do you believe? And we just discussed it all. We tore it all open and just talked about everything because we were always very close anyway. Just it's just an amazing experience. And then on Christmas morning, and Mom, I could have this slightly wrong, but from what my mom told me, is he was in the kitchen with my mother, and he said, Mom said, she said something to him. I can't remember what it was, and he said, Grandma, I'm not supposed to be here. She goes, oh, no, we love having you here. What are you talking about? He says, no, on this earth, I'm not supposed to be here. And she goes, oh, no, come on, let's go open presents. I don't think that it really hit her that he, what he was saying, and she didn't tell me this till after he passed. And, I mean, that in itself was interesting. And then when he left, I took him to the airport. Cody and I took him to the airport, and the plane was running late. So, and this is the last time I ever saw him. We walked into the airport, and we sat on a bench together. And Wade was on my left. I sat in the middle, and Cody was on my right. And Wade gave me a piece of gum. I remember that so clearly. And we just sat there holding hands until he got on the airplane. And that was at Christmas. And on January 21st, we received a call from his girlfriend from the hospital in the morning. And she was hysterical, and I remember we were sleeping, and we got a call, I think it was 5 in the morning, which we don't get calls at 5 in the morning.
You know, those are bad calls when you get those.
No, and you know it's not going to be good. And I thought it was about Cody's brother, because he's a diabetic, and I thought maybe it was about him, and if he needed to come and wake me up, he would. So I went back to sleep, and it seemed like Cody was on the phone a long time, like he was gone, and I fell back asleep, and he comes back into the bedroom. And I wasn't expecting this at all. I mean, he was in shock, or he wouldn't have probably done this. He sat down on the bed, and he said, wake up. And I said, is everything okay?
What's wrong, yeah.
And he didn't warn me. He said, Wade's dead. He didn't say there's been an accident. He didn't. So that right there, I couldn't even. My first thought was walk back out into the living room, shut the door, and this didn't happen. This did not happen. So he was in shock. And I'm trying to absorb this. I'm half asleep. I can't even comprehend such a thing. I mean, this is my son. I just couldn't.
This is awful. Yeah.
Anyway,
I'm holding back tears. Sorry if I'm coughing and whatever. I'm just trying not to bawl.
So now this is where it gets a little strange. I get up. I've never been in shock before. Shock is when you can't sit still because you've got to move. But once you sit, once you're moving, you want to sit still and you can't move because you don't know what to do. I mean, it's the weirdest experience. Shock, and I've been through it a few times now. It's just the most awful feeling, and you want the world to be normal, and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, it's just not anymore. And so we had an event that day. We were going to a spiritual event, an all-day event, and we called our friends, our two neighbors that lived right next door, to say we were going to cancel and what happened, and they actually came over to the house and said, I know this is the most horrible thing that's ever happened in your life. Nothing could be worse than this, but you will just be sitting here. And what are you going to do but sit here? This event could help you. And I'm like, no. Cody, you know, he said, think about it. He goes, maybe this could be something good for us. And I couldn't even think. I said, okay, I'll do whatever. I'll go. I didn't know what else to do. So it was early in the morning, and we showed up at this event before it opened, before anybody else, and we were sitting on this cement bench waiting for somebody to come open the door. And a woman showed up that was managing the event, and she looked at me and she said, "Are you okay?" I said, "No, I'm not okay." She said, "You're white as a ghost." I said, "My son was just killed in a car accident this morning." And I will tell you about the accident in a minute after I tell you this. So she took me in, and the man that was going to do the event showed up, and she introduced me to him, and he said how sorry he was. And then we went in, and we sat down, and I sat down on the fifth row directly behind Louise Hay.
Oh, wow.
He got on stage, and he said, "My wife was asking me on the way over to this event what I would be talking about today." And he said, "I don't know." And she said, "What do you mean you don't know? You have to know what you're going to be talking about." And he's like, "I didn't get any information coming through. I don't know." He said, "But when I got here," he's on stage saying this, he said, "when I got here, I knew what we were discussing, the loss of children." He said, "There's been four people in this audience that have lost children in the immediate time. And the whole day was about the loss of children, and it could not have been a more incredible thing to do." It was. It got me through the day, which I don't know how I would have gotten through the day.
Do you think that might be one of the biggest fears that people have when you have children, is that you're going, that they might die?
Oh, yeah.
Even overaging. You know, I didn't know if we were going to lob that one back and forth, and you notice I kind of didn't. But that's probably my biggest fear as the mother of four boys, ages 10, 12, 14, and 16, knock on everything I own.
Oh, yes.
That, you know, and they're all starting to drive, and they're all doing all these things, and you know, it's not like they're babies and you got them every 2 seconds. It's
no.
Like,
yeah, I completely
it's
understand.
Really, it's completely hard to explain as a parent what you go through, but my mom said, you know, this does, you know, this thing that's inside of you where you wouldn't, if somebody gave you $1 million cash and said, "I'll give you $1 million for your kid," you wouldn't. She goes, "It doesn't get any better. It just gets, it ups. You know, I'd give you $50 million for your kid." No, thanks.
No.
You know, it's very complicated to explain, but that's probably my very biggest fear is losing a child.
Yes.
Very biggest fear.
It is.
I honestly don't know how you're on this phone call right now having a conversation. It makes me so proud of you because you help so many people.
When I think of my family members who've passed, I only can smile. I can only feel good and remember all the wonderful things that they did for me, and I just have such respect for them, and I am so grateful they were in my life for the amount of time that they were.
Yeah.
You know?
Our family does something different at funerals. We kind of do what you just said. We, you know, everybody's sad, of course, and things like that, but
yes.
My mom at funerals does a board of photographs and so forth of the person, and then she puts together like a, almost like a biography, and laminates it and gives everybody in the family a copy of that person's history of their life.
Oh,
it was, you know, it makes the sting kind of lessen a little when there's pictures to look at, or, you know, pictures of the person smiling and happy at one point. But, you know, I still don't, it doesn't bring the person back so at all.
No.
It's a way to deal with it, maybe a little.
Right, and it's just so challenging to figure out how you want to deal with this.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you what happened the day of his accident, because I've never really told anybody about this except my family. He had just moved up to Vancouver with his girlfriend, and they were going to live there. She's a horse trainer, and they were moving up there, and they had just arrived, and they were out one night with some of the people that she was going to be working with at one of the local bars, and it was late at night, and they were having drinks, and they had decided to leave, and there would be two designated drivers for the cars. I think there was two or three cars. There would be two designated drivers. And my son's girlfriend was a designated driver for one car, and he was chosen to be the designated driver for the other car. So his girlfriend got in a car with some people, and one of them was the husband of the wife that got in the car with my son and the driver of the other car. And his girlfriend's car, they took off. Well, evidently, and there's really no one to tell this properly, but Wade was supposed to be the designated driver. The driver of the car evidently didn't want someone he didn't know driving his car, and he'd been drinking.
Drinking, yeah.
And he wouldn't let my son drive the car. And they were only going about 4 miles, so my son probably didn't want to argue with him, thought, oh, you know, what's going to happen in 4 miles? They were in a little Jetta, I believe. What's going to happen? So he got in on the passenger side, and the woman, her husband, who had left in the other car, she had a big fur coat on, and she got in the back seat. They took off, went down the road, and they hit an icy patch, and it was snowing, and they went skidding down an embankment, and they hit, I believe it was a rock or a tree, which my son received massive head injuries from.
Yeah.
And then the car careened down into the frozen little lake area water and flipped upside down in the ice.
All for just somebody.
Yeah. Now, the woman in the back had known the driver her whole life. She maybe knew that Wade was injured. I'm not sure if he was even okay or not. He was, and I'm thankfully he was unconscious. Because I couldn't even imagine. She saved the driver. She got the kid that had been drinking out of the car and took him up and out of the water and went back in. And she died. Her wet coat then pulled her down. She had hypothermia. She died trying to get my son out.
Aww.
And then as my son's girlfriend's driving down the road, she said, something happened to Wade. So I know something happened. We've got to turn back. Something happened. They turned back, and by the time they got there, the police were there. Two of the police went in to try and get him out of the water and her, and they received hypothermia and had to go to the hospital. And that's when she called us from the hospital, because the boy that was driving the car, I think she probably would have tried to go in and kill him in the hospital. She was in there screaming at him, and after she was done with that, she called us and told us. And then she couldn't handle it.
Did the driver live?
He lived, yes. And not even a slap on the wrist in Canada. His dad even told him, no big deal. His dad's a drinker. No big deal. You didn't do anything wrong. You know, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
so how come you were
But he knows he did this. He knows that two people.
He lives with it every day.
He lives with it every day, and there can't be anything worse than that.
Yeah.
But his girlfriend couldn't handle being out in Canada and had to come and stay with us. She absolutely could not deal with it there. She needed to be with us. And so she came and stayed with us for a while. And, to get through it all.
You know, I'm trying to think of what to say. And I don't know if there is anything to say other than I'm just so sorry that you had to go through this all, and I'm
well. There's a lot of people
sorry
that
you
a lot worse.
Lost your son. It's just terrible.
And he's just a beautiful soul, and I feel him around me, and I just know he's great wherever he is, and he's right where he needs to be. And if he was supposed to be here, he would be here.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, like I said before, my first thought was, what would they want from me? They would want me to be happy. They loved me. They would want me to live in joy. And I'm not going to be, you know, of course you go through your shock and you go through your time or you go through your grief. But I have to move on and live my life. And that's what they would want from me.
That's what I think is so amazing about you, too, because, you know, I think I introduced you to one of my friends, Katie. And, you know, she deals with a lot of people who have gone through these things. And most often they're not so great after something like this happens. They go through depression or suicide or divorce or, you know, all these things. And through it, you've stayed married to Cody for 25 years.
Yeah.
You know, he's a light in he's a, I call him a light in shining armor. That's what I call him.
Oh, incredible.
You know, and I'm hoping that we can bring some light and laughter to this conversation too, because I think that's what it sounds like. That's what your son would want too. He wouldn't want you on here crying. He wouldn't want you miserable. He wouldn't want you sad. He wouldn't want you anything but doing what you're doing.
Nope, and both my brothers, they said, you celebrate our lives.
And
you
your dad
celebrate
and
us.
Yeah. You know, the one thing that strikes me as I'm talking to you is that I don't hear any anger in you at all. And sometimes when you talk to people about loss, they get really pissed. It just makes them mad and angry and everything, and they're just bitter and awful. Was that ever part of your makeup before, and how do you keep anger and that whole out of your world? It doesn't seem like it's part of your nature. I'd almost want to ask Mom.
Oh, you could put Mom on. She could call in.
Hi, Mom. If you want to call in, you can call in. The number is, anybody who wants to call in, I'll look again. It's 714-868-0220.
Yeah, Mom.
Well, we've got lots.
You
know what? We've got lots of callers. I'm going
to
open up these lines if that's okay. While you
answer
that question.
And I must warn you, my phone may start to go. If it starts to beep, I'm going to go grab my other phone. Just so you know.
That's okay. Yeah. Yeah. Just dial back in if it you know if it doesn't the battery runs out or whatever.
Okay.
So how do you keep anger out of your world?
I choose joy and I choose love. And when you're connected to love on so many levels. Truly love, there's no place for that.
Yeah.
For me, there's no place for that. You know, I can choose to be angry, and then I'm going to ruin my life. It's not going to bring them back. It's not going to make me happy. It's not going to make the people around me happy. I'd rather be a living example and be able to encourage other people, because courage belongs to everyone. You know, and it, like I just wrote at a new quote, it's an equal opportunity act that assists in the most challenging events in our lives. And it's like it's a choice, and I've just made a choice.
Yeah, I love that. Caller from 215, we have you live on the air. Did you want to ask a question, or are you just listening? I can't tell. There's a caller from 215.
Yeah.
Hi,
yeah,
would you like to? Go ahead.
Oh, you're somebody.
Yep. It's Heshi.
Hi, Heshi.
Hi, Heshi.
I can get into the chat box. And, Deborah, you know, I've heard your story not as in-depth as this, and I hear you saying love and joy, and I just can't seem to fathom that there's this uplifted spirit that doesn't carry any anger with it, that it's just there, and it happened, and it seems as though it's enriched your life. It's like, how do you do that?
I've gone deep inside myself for many, many years, and I've reached in and just found that joy and released any anger or blame or judgment. It doesn't serve me, and it doesn't serve my life. So I've had to have the courage to let that go. For me, it works. It doesn't work for everyone, but for me, that's what I had to do. It works for me.
Okay. We've got another caller. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I thought you were... Go ahead.
No, that's okay.
Okay.
I was all excited to talk to Heshi. I was like,
Heshi, I'm going to bring you back again. I'm going to get to some of these questions, and then if we have time, because we only have 25 minutes left.
Okay.
Caller from 978. Hello, would you like to ask Deborah a question?
Hello, Deborah. It's Andy Lyons.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
My gosh. I am, of course, like everybody else listening to the call, blown away by your experience.
Well, I'm
and my heart,
all you women.
My heart goes out to you, but also the fact that you show everyone that forgiveness is always a bold choice for a peaceful heart, that you are choosing to see, you know, that's what we have, the choice to see what is available after a circumstance like this. And you do not serve anybody that you love who has passed by being angry and bitter and resentful. And you honor their life and their spirit and their legacy by sharing the story of what they did while they were here, the impact they had while they were here. And I'm just filled with so much love for you and your courage. So thank you.
Well, that's so well said, honoring them. It is. It's honoring their life and their presence here. And of course, some of the things that happened in our life with these people weren't all, you know, rainbows. You know, there was some gnarly stuff going on with my brothers, with especially one of my brothers. And I mean, there was so many challenges through the years. But those defined us and helped us grow and helped us love each other more. And it brought up even more courage. And it just makes me, when I think of any of them, I get happy. I smile. And I know a lot of people don't understand that. But I do. I can't help it. They just brought such joy into my life. And that's what I hold in my heart, is what they brought to me, what they meant to me. And that's why I can't honor them. Because
right,
I can't bring them back.
Yeah.
And I know wherever they are, they're just perfectly placed.
Yeah. Andy and Heshi, thank you for calling in. We're going to move to caller from the 646 area code. Hello. A question? Is it Stephen?
Yes, it's Stephen here. Stephen,
oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm so in love with this man.
He's wonderful, isn't he? He is just a beautiful soul.
Oh
my God, it's such a mutual love fest going on here, sisters.
Daily Dimmick on Twitter, guys. Stephen Dimmick.
Oh.
Talk about courage, too. The courage is in all forms, and putting fear aside is in all forms, too. And I know, I could go on and on. We need another hour, and we have 22 minutes.
So,
Stephen, did you want to ask
a
question?
We had a big old meeting party.
Yeah.
Steve Talamy's on here, my co-writer. I mean, he's, talk about courage. I mean, he's just, he's incredible.
Yeah. Mirror, mirror.
Mirror, mirror, exactly.
I want to know. Look, I'm so blown away. I was just listening to you, and I had a very vague knowledge of this story of yours, Deborah. And I just want to know how long, because obviously it's a very recent event, how long did you give yourself to be in grief and anger before you were able to take ownership of it?
Well, this is not going to sound good to a lot of people, because I never felt real angry. I mean, I felt because of my spiritual beliefs and if you have a spiritual belief and it doesn't work for you when these things happen, get a new one. Mine worked. And I believed that there's certain events that happen in life for reasons we can't understand. There's seen and unseen things and forces in the universe that perhaps we don't understand. And I have to know that that power is so much greater than I am and has much more wisdom. So I didn't get what you would say so much angry. I went into the blame game for a while. Why was he driving? What was he drinking? Why, you know, those types of things.
Yeah.
But it was a period of time over several months, and I had to go back to work. I had to do what I had to do because normality is what I needed.
That's, you know what, that's, can I stop you right there? That is such a big point right there.
Please.
Just right there, life. I noticed this when I was with my dad in the ICU for 45 days this past round. You know, when someone is sick or when someone passes away or anything, it's like life keeps going.
Yeah.
And
all you want to do is be treated normal, like everything's normal.
But we noticed so many people, I don't even know how, it was like you couldn't reconcile normal, you know, a normal day with what was happening. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? Because I noticed people, you know, they couldn't go to work, or they were caught, you know, going to work and then staying at the hospital for, you know, for 5 hours a night, and then, you know, it was just a sad cycle of everything. And so when you're grieving, is there some magic week or 2 weeks? You know, I noticed that, like, when somebody passes away in the work life, they give you like a week to be off.
Yes. It's such an individual thing. They give you 6 weeks off to have a baby, and that's a happy
experience.
But 1 week
off when someone passes away.
Yes.
And so it seems kind of, I don't know, hard. I'm not giving the right words here. Anybody in the chat room, help me. But it seems very hard to kind of continue on like everything's okay when maybe it's not.
Oh, it is.
To fake it?
It's because everything is distorted. Nothing seems. It's everything's just discombobulated, and you can't kind of pull it together in your head for a little while.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, I had Cody. I'm telling you. I mean, I had a very supportive family. I had Cody in my life, the love of my life. He's my best friend, and I mean, without him, through all of this, I couldn't have done it. I mean, if anything happens to him, I'll tell you right now, you can all just come and get me and shoot me.
That's what I say about my husband.
I couldn't. I wouldn't even scrape me up off the floor.
I got that.
I wouldn't even.
It's like,
that's
why I'm thankful that I have all of you guys in my life, because we all love each other. It's the coolest group of people.
Yes, isn't it? And
it
so
is just
supportive.
And at the heart of it is Deb Scott. I mean, she's connected all of us. I just love that woman. I mean, I love you, Deb Scott. If you don't know how, that you're the glue that binds.
Deb started it all. It's your fault, Deb.
Your fault,
started
Deb.
All this.
We have, I don't know if this is someone in your area code. It's 949. And I've got your mic live to ask a question, and I don't know if you're just listening or not.
Hello.
That's
hello?
My mom. I know that
voice. Mom. Hello.
It's like mine.
Let me tell you, this woman walks her talk.
Aww.
She is an amazing, amazing human being, and I'm very proud to call her daughter. And I have seen her go through all this, and she has gone through all this with me, too, because, of course, I've lost two grandchildren and two sons. And I can remember very clearly Wade saying to me when they were there at Christmas time what Debbie reported to you. But he also said to me, Grandma, I know I was just here in the summer with my girlfriend, but he said, I had this overwhelming feeling I needed to be with my family at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So there's somewhere within, I think, our consciousness or our subconscious that we may know when it's our time that's getting close.
Yeah.
And then my oldest son, Ted, and he said, do I get a death wish? And I said, you can have all you want. And he said, please celebrate who we were. He said, I know you're going to grieve, but he said, if you don't celebrate who we were, what good was our lives? You know, he said, you need to, you know, to celebrate us. And Deborah was there, I mean, in every moment to help me through all this, and I'm hoping I helped her some too.
Oh, are you kidding?
And but our belief system was something that, I mean, I've had people say to me, well, you must not have loved your sons as much as we loved ours because you seem happy all the time. And I said, you know, I'm sorry you feel that way, but I am happy all the time. It's a choice. And my sons would not be happy wherever they are on the other side or wherever they are if I would run around doing poor me and it awful and, you know, and using that for an excuse to get sympathy where, you know, I don't feel that way. I'm excited about life, and I'm 78 years old, and I just made a move by myself from New Mexico back to California. And now I'm all around all these wonderful spiritual people, and I mean, I feel like I'm 12 again. And I'm so excited, and Deborah's just, and her and Cody are just, I can't even, I mean, they're just the most amazing people I've ever known.
Oh, see where I get it?
I love moms. Oh, well, yeah. I think, Mom, you are just amazing. You can hear it in your voice, too. And I have a question for you. Did you teach courage to Debra? Did you ever teach her? Did you ever say, you know, I'm going to teach you about courage and fear, kiddo, and you've got a choice to make?
No, I never said that, but I think we lived our life in a spiritual way of delving within, deep within ourselves for the answers. I somewhere along the road, I decided that it wasn't out there, but it was within me, and that's the only place I could go because I probably made more boo-boos and mistakes or created learning experiences than the average bear. In my life.
Learning experiences.
And, you know, and I do. I consider them learning experiences. Yeah. And when Debra was just a very small child, she came in from outdoors. We were living in Phoenix, and she was hysterical. And, I mean, I thought somebody had molested her. I didn't know what was wrong. She couldn't talk. She said, I can't tell you. I can't tell you. And I was really scared. And she finally said, well, you told me there was a Santa Claus, and there isn't one, and you told me there's a God. And she said, I was outside, and the wind was blowing. Oh, when you get the wind in Phoenix, it's horrible.
Yeah.
And she said, the wind was blowing hard, and I said, God, if you're real, stop the wind. And he did. And she said, he stopped the wind. And I believed her. And she was always spiritual from that time on. She was always different.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you remember that, Debra?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Scared me to death because the wind stopped, and it was so bad I had to hang on to a tree not to get blown away because I was little.
Yeah.
I remember.
I mean, the wind was so, I mean, it was blowing so hard that day you couldn't even see across the street. The sand and the, you know, just the stuff blowing, and she was outside in it.
And I know this sounds a little strange too, but when I was little, I have pictures, different ages, different cameras, all different ages, and there's these big bolts of light going into my back.
Huh.
Huge.
Yeah.
I actually showed.
What did you say? You can hear it in both of your voices. It's very interesting. You can tell when there's You guys are just a different kind of energy. It's just a real positive.
But it's still all a choice. It's all a choice.
It's,
you know, courage is a choice and faith is a choice. You know, it's a belief system. And it's not out there somewhere. It's within us.
Within.
And we forget to look within us, you know.
Yeah, I can.
We
I
make
can
ourselves beautiful on the outside as much as we can. We drive a nice car. We put on the best clothes we can afford to buy. We put the best food in our body on the outside, but it's the inside. It's who we are, who the universe made us from within, and that's where all the answers are. And this is what Debra teaches people.
Beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. It definitely does come within. I could, and I go
absolutely
back to seeing my dad struggle and with having a kidney removed and all sorts of stuff those 45 days, and he's a stroke survivor and a coma survivor and everything. And he looked at us and he said, I'm living, so, you know, let's go. He is very serious. I was just talking to him on the phone, and he lost 50 pounds of water from being resuscitated, you know, this past, 45 days. You know, he's been very, very, very ill. And he was resuscitated and everything from them not tying an artery off in surgery. And, he spent 45 days in the ICU just duking it out for his life. And I remember going in, and he throughout the whole process, it's courage, and it's a will. It's sort of a will.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain that will, but survival can sometimes be a very big will, willing yourself through with faith and courage and positive energy and so forth.
Yep.
And
definitely.
Yeah.
Now,
I have.
Well, thank you for having me on with. And I just wanted to just say hi to Debra and to let her know how much I love her and how much I know that she walks her talk, and I see it every day.
Thanks.
Thank you for calling in. That is so adorable and sweet, and that's so from the heart. I love it. The chat room is loving mom too. Hi guys.
Yes,
everybody wants to say hi to
mom.
I do.
Thanks.
Before you go, I do have two people. I've opened the mic, the lines up again, and so everybody is actually live right now. Just for if everybody wants to say hi to mom, you guys go ahead. Say hi to mom. Say hi to Deborah. But I have 978 open and 215 open.
Hey, Mom. It's Andy saying hi to Mom. You're so remarkable.
Oh.
Talk about modeling and having someone to model after. You rock.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I just am blessed to have this beautiful woman in my life, this wonderful daughter.
Yeah. I love this. All right. In the chat room, we've got someone saying, love your love of spirit. And we all, and I like this one too, we all help each other in ways that we don't even realize.
Yes.
Do you think we're all, Deborah, do you think we're all helping each other right now? And in what
way?
Oh,
I know we are. This supportive group that's come together, especially from Motivation Marathon, and then those people around us that we've been meeting and coming together with over the years. I mean, what a powerful group of people, like-minded people. And it's not that we don't have challenges in our lives and we're not going through things on a daily basis, but we're all here to support each other, and just knowing that these people are here in support of us, each of us, doesn't it feel good? Doesn't it make you feel just more powerful?
Yeah, no, it really does. It's absolutely, it's amazing. 646, would you like to say something more? I can't remember if that's Stephen.
That is me. I'm just sitting here just I'm just so full of gratitude to be here. I'm so glad you told me that you were going to be on, Deborah, because I think most of you ladies know that I'm one of these repulsive people who I'm optimistic to the absolute ends of the earth, but even sometimes I get dragged down and I forget, and that there's a way out sometimes. So, and I was having one of those mornings. I'm sitting here listening to you, Deborah, and I'm just like, holy crap. Really? Really?
Oh, you
really
and my
anything?
Mom. You and my mom would just, I couldn't tear you and my mom apart once you guys got together.
Oh, I fell in love with her instantly.
Stephen, what do you think of this? Stephen, what do you think of this quote from Deborah? Okay, on her website, there's a ton of quotes here, but what do you think of this one? Push away everything that chips at your miracle.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. People, places, things. I even had to let family members, I had to let my mother go because she was one of those people that kept chipping away. And some people are horrified at that, but, it's like, at all costs, if I want to be an example to anyone, including my mother, sometimes you've got to let go of these people so you can find that beauty within yourself and show them what beauty really is, because that's what it's all about. It's about just letting go. And, if you can let go, it's funny to listen to Deborah, letting go of her son really gave her the chance to hold on to him. I mean, come on, that's amazing to me.
Yes.
Well said.
Absolutely.
Is Mom still on the phone?
I'm still on the phone.
Mom, what do you think about this quote by Deborah? Reach into your imagination and feel the power you have to create in your world.
Oh, it's powerful. It is. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely powerful. And you do have to use that. On a daily basis.
Yes.
It's sometimes a moment by moment. It's
vigilance of every thought that comes into your mind, because you can expand it or contract it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Deborah, what do you think of this quote that you wrote? looking back with regret blocks our movement forward to bigger and better things. You are a creator in training. You hold the power to create your future.
Oh, yes. I mean, I believe that we're all these amazing creator beings here to create. And when we're not creating, we're dying. Creating is what sparks the spirit, sparks our soul, and it just gives us so much motivation. When you're creating something, don't you feel fantastic?
Yeah.
I mean, creating is just, it's everything. And when you don't have anything going on in your life, you're not creating, it's more about poor me, what am I going to do, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life, everything's miserable, it's everybody else's fault. But when you're happy and you're creating and you're in that special place within you that is your divine spark of life, it brings you alive.
Yeah.
It brings you alive.
So I want to just quick mention, because we only have like 5 minutes left, I wanted to tell people your website, and then also you just came up onto Best Ever You as a coach for us. So you guys can go to besteveryou.com also and click Ask a Coach, and Deborah is on there now as well, which is really, really exciting and a blessing for us. And you can also find Deborah at her website, which is livingincourageonline.com. And also, Deborah is pretty active there on Twitter and Facebook. Twitter is Deborah Oakland, DeBraOakland, Deborah Oakland, and also the same thing on Facebook. And
I have a fan page there too for Living in Courage.
Yeah.
And if anybody wants my free ebook and my newsletter monthly, you can sign up either on my Facebook fan page for Living in Courage, or on my blog too.
Yeah. Perfect. All right. Andy, are you still on the phone with us? Is Andy still with us?
I sure am, Elizabeth.
What do you think of this quote from Deborah Oakland? In this now moment, you are your highest potential.
Oh, I love that, because that's all you have is the right now. If you're facing backwards, you don't have anything. The future is yet to unfold. So right this very minute, right in this very conversation that we're having, is where we are our most powerful. So I love that. Thank you, Deborah.
Cheryl Mosley joined us in the chat room. Cheryl, I'm loving that you're in the chat room with us, but I'm hoping that maybe you want to ask a question. If you do, just type it in. We've got a few minutes left of the show. Hi, Cheryl. She just said hi. I love that.
Hi, Cheryl.
So, Cheryl, if you have a question, please just ask away, because we'd love to include you. And anybody else, Steve, if you have any questions for Deborah, we'd love to ask. If anybody wants to call in.
Steve's all...
Steve, call in or whatever. The number the number to call in is 714-868-0220. You can just call in and have a chat with us. Your mics are all still live. So, Mom, is there anything else you wanted to add? Because this is, I think it's, you know, one of the things too is, I love moms. I was just talking to mine earlier, and moms are, you sound like such a graceful, elegant mom.
Oh, thank you. Well, I have a graceful, elegant daughter that has brought me along just fine. Thank you very much.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Did you ever have that point in your mom-daughter relationship where you guys did that, oh, my gosh, we can't stand each other or anything like that? Because it sounds like it's all, like, rosy and peaceful
I've never felt that way. She might have.
I think it's so refreshing to have a mom and a daughter.
No, she's always been a wonderful, amazing, easy person to be around, and she was a delight to raise. I don't know what else to say, and I'm telling you the truth.
Perfect. I'm glad, because it sounds like it all the way around, and it sounds like she was just delightful like that from the get-go.
She was.
I want to know when Mum's going to write a book, because I think many mothers could benefit from that.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, honestly, I probably could write a book.
We could write a book. We haven't even talked about living in the backwoods of Canada, all the things that happen there.
A mother and daughter book sounds like a plan.
we have a minute left, and I just wanted to. I really want to just thank everyone for. Being with us for the full hour. And Deborah, I want to thank you for being with us too, of course, and livingincourageonline.com. And thank you for all of your help with the motivationmarathon.com and Best Ever You. See if anybody wants to ask any question. Favorite quote is, gratitude is a drug. It's free and non-toxic. Deborah Oakland, and everybody is commenting on Mom. Mom is 78. She sounds so vibrant and young, and we need another show, and on and on and on, but we are out of time. So
Mom looks like 50.
Any parting? We have 30 seconds. Go, Deborah.
Challenges,
bring us out.
Challenges are put in our pathway not to discourage us, but to call up the qualities of courage that are required to find the opportunity in the challenge.
Oh, I love it. Okay. Anything else?
Thank you for having me on the show, and I'm so happy. All my friends came and said hi. I'm so excited. I'm just so grateful to have you guys in my life.
Yeah, we love you, too.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, take care and have a great day. We love you, love you, love you. Thank you for supporting us.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.